I'm Tanzina Vega, and welcome to The Takeaway. As the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases continues to rise in the United States, public health officials have continued to recommend face masks to stop the spread. But not all Americans are on board.
I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy. So either wear the mask or...
And I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
No, I'm not doing it. We don't want any of this anymore. This is over. No. No. Do you? Why? Why? You let everybody else do it?
I have a breathing problem. My doctor would not let me wear a mask. So anyone harassing me to wear a mask, you guys are violating federal law. You get that? Get that on camera.
Ma'am.
Since the pandemic has reached the United States, there have been multiple videos featuring combative scenes where people refuse to comply with mask mandates and social distancing, everywhere from Trader Joe's to Costco. And in a few cases, those confrontations have escalated into real violence, like in Flint, Michigan, where a security guard died after being shot for telling a customer to wear a face mask. Our next guests say that part of the problem are the conflicting messages coming from the federal government about the effectiveness of wearing a mask. But even President Trump has come around saying, quote, "It's patriotic to wear a face mask when you can't socially distance," in a recent tweet. Dr. Kirsten Bibbitts-Domingo is a physician and chair of the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics. And Sion Banot is a behavioral and public economist at Swarthmore College.
You know, I think there's plenty of reasons out there to be upset. I think people are getting particularly upset in visible ways out in public around mask wearing. We've got people on both sides and people getting into fist fights in stores over this issue, which has been a fascinating, if troubling, phenomenon here in society.
Masks have become increasingly a political statement for some people. But I'm wondering, is that what's inspiring so much rage in some segments of the population?
I mean, you know, I think there's multiple components, right? I mean, it's almost as if the rage from the general political environment, the rage from obviously the impacts of COVID-19 and now Black Lives Matter as well, are finding other outlets. And I think that it's turned what is in truth a public health situation with the masks into a sort of political football to be kicked back and forth, which has obviously undermined a very simple public health idea, which is, you know, wearing your masks and doing it for the good of the collective. So I think this is stemming from a behavioral phenomenon in the sense that it's challenging for folks to separate out the sort of individualism from the collective mindset, and people are sort of getting into fights about whether or not wearing a mask is a individual choice versus a simple action on behalf of the collective. And I think that's causing some of this outburst is sort of a different perspective on what mask wearing truly means and what it's for.
Sion, you have the academic explanation for that. I call it American entitlement. I mean, I feel like Americans aren't interested in or used to being told, or at least they don't feel like they have to do what they're told to do. Is that, am I right on that?
No, I think you're hitting on something that's true about the American character. I would say that the United States, for better or worse, has really lionized individualism and individual freedom over the centuries that we've been around, and I think that that's now manifesting in this non-collectivist mentality, right? So as soon as we have a global pandemic, which requires sort of collectivist thinking, really subserving your own interests to the collective, people find that very difficult. Of course, that same freedom and individualism has done some great things for our society, but right now it's rearing its ugly head in that it's preventing people from seeing a relatively simple pro-social act as something political, something triggering, something leading you to get in fights at a store with a store clerk who's just abiding by the regulations.
I want to dig a little bit further into that in just a minute, but I want to bring in here Dr. Bibbitts-Domingo. Doctor, the inconsistency around masks and other public health messaging during the coronavirus pandemic has been, at least one thing we can say is that that's been consistent. We've been consistently inconsistent. What role has that had in the backlash that we're seeing?
Yeah, I think that is definitely part of the challenge. Is early on, good public health messengers said we shouldn't wear masks, when really what we should have said is we need to keep our masks for our physicians, our healthcare workers, our frontline workers. And also, we have over time, this is a new virus, learned more about the virus, and more data has made it more compelling to wear masks. But I think a key piece here, and I want to accept the burden from the public health inconsistent messaging, is we've also had an undermining of public health as the messenger. The whole collectivist spirit that we've been talking about, I think, really could be amplified if we had consistent messaging from a trusted messenger. And in many cases, we're working in an environment of inconsistent messaging, but also a lack of trust in the messenger and people really undermining the very people, the public health authorities, other types of public health officials, really delivering that message, which hasn't really helped.
So let's talk about that, because if anything, this is also a very visual issue. Masks, you either have one on or you don't. And during the coronavirus pandemic, at the peak of the pandemic, when the federal government started issuing daily reports, we saw the adaptation of mask wearing even within the coronavirus task force, right? So we would see Dr. Birx wearing one. We would see Dr. Fauci wearing one. Finally, this week, the president himself tweeted a photo of himself wearing a mask. But that has been also inconsistent, Dr. Bibbins-Domingo. What are the consequences of what the president and his administration have done in terms of wearing and not wearing masks themselves?
Yeah, I think alongside tried and true American value of individualism is also this exceptionalism, this idea that, well, there may be something out there, but it's not something that I have to pay attention to. And I think that when we see that on the national stage, you both see those pieces playing themselves out on the national stage amongst our leaders. And I think there is the additional piece that I referred to before of that, that sort of marginalizing the public health message and messengers hasn't helped in reinforcing the idea that this is just a basic act that we all have to do for the collective good.
Dr. Bibbins-Domingo, how effective, let's put this to bed for once and for all, at least given the information that we know right now towards the end of July, but how effective are masks in preventing the spread of the coronavirus?
Right. So masks are effective, particularly when we want to open up our economy. I think the key things to understand here are the virus needs a place to continue to spread. It needs to find other people to infect. When we were all sheltering, it couldn't find anybody because we were all in our houses. And but the idea that we want to open up our economies has to come with these common sense steps that when we're out in the public, that help reduce the transmission. And those are masks, distancing, and hygiene. The science here comes from really comparing places in different stages in the pandemic that have adopted masks or not. Modeling studies, aerosol studies that look at how the virus exits your mouth and might go into being able to either land on a surface or somebody else. I will say the science is always evolving in this, and we have to acknowledge that as scientists. But we're at a point in a pandemic that we have clear evidence of people being infected, people dying, and in a situation where we want to open the economy. And I think there we have to take the science on balance and say to open our economies, to be outside the way we want to be, we have to take this step that is really supported by the science, and that includes masking.
Sion, we've talked a little bit about the approaches that so far, you know, people are deciding whether or not they want to wear masks. But there's also a lot of fighting at the state and federal government level. There is tension between Georgia and Atlanta, the state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta right now, where the mayor of Atlanta wanted to implement a mask rule. And the governor of Georgia said is suing the mayor for not wanting to implement this rule. I mean, what do you make of all that tension?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's obviously in parallel with this, you know, these tensions at the state and local level, there's the political tension. It's not a coincidence that most of the struggles at state and local levels versus national and so on are between politicians of different political parties. So there's a bit of a, you know, taking a stance to prove a political point rather than, you know, look at the underlying research. And I think it's wonderful to have Dr. Bibbs Domingo in the conversation to get a real natural scientist on the line, because, you know, they have the true message for us. For example, masks work. This is how the disease is being spread based on analytical work. And of course, the challenge is we have to take this sort of natural science research, this hard evidence, to a population that is not always ready to hear it or willing to hear it, and that has entrenched beliefs based on political attitudes and you know, struggles with the same behavioral biases that affect all of us and prevent us from noticing the, you know, changes wrought by climate change that make it hard for us to save for retirement or exercise sufficiently. I mean, we all struggle with these kind of biases. So once natural science comes to the people, it's not as easy as it might seem to get everyone on board. So I think it's a combination of those kind of individual level behavioral biases and also this unfortunately heavily politicized environment that's leading people to take stands that are not based on a reason or certainly not on the natural science research, but instead based on posturing or sort of behavioral fallacies at the individual level.
We should also note that it's not just politicians that are grappling with whether or not to mandate masks in their state or city. Companies are now being dragged into the fray here, Sion, and we're seeing places like BJ's and other large companies saying, you know, Walmart saying you've got to wear a mask. How does that jibe for you? I mean, when you see big, large corporations putting out these mask mandates, does that make up for the lack of political leadership?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that to some extent, it's kind of enlightening to see that these companies are going against the government mandates, essentially, you know, occupying the vacuum that a lot of governments are putting in place around masking, right? So governments are refusing to take a stand or giving very ambiguous advice, you know, masks work, but you can't mandate them, or, you know, there's all kinds of people tiptoeing the line. And I think companies are the ones on the front lines to some extent, and their workers are on the front lines. So I think the fact that a lot of these companies, some of whom are in many ways tied to politicians who have been opposed to mask wearing, are saying, you know what, we have to protect our people and we don't want to be shut down when there's an outbreak linked to one of our stores. So to some extent, I mean, I don't want to use the term follow the money, but these companies want to stay in business. They want to stay around, and they've recognized that masking is a way to do that and is a way to get back to normal and protect their employees, protect their customers. And there's a real signal in that message. And it's unfortunate that they've had to step into the void left by government officials. But to some extent, I'm grateful for them doing that as well. It's the responsible thing to do. And ultimately, it'll save lives. But it's unfortunate that it's come to that.
Dr. Bibbs Domingo, one of the things that we see a lot in these videos are these are largely white people who are yelling and screaming, often in just in rage about being asked to wear a mask. And what do we make of that?
Yeah, I think it might be simply that this is following along a political ideology, as we've been talking about, and those are the individuals who most identify with that ideology. I do have a concern that as we've been going through this pandemic, that we really see the disproportionate impact on our communities of color, on African Americans, Indigenous communities, and Latinx communities. And I do have concerns that this might lead some to believe that this pandemic is not something that might concern their community, or in a probably more virulent form, being something that says, well, it really is, I don't care that this is affecting these people, and so therefore it's not my responsibility to take on a collective spirit if that involves really protecting this other group that I don't identify with. And I'm not saying that that is the motivation, but I do think that that it is a concern of mine that we really have to both recognize that this virus has had a disproportionate impact on communities of color, but also that we are so interrelated that we do have a responsibility to take all of the steps individually we can to protect all in our communities. And that is a tall order to have that mindset without leadership also underscoring those messages.
Sion, I'm wondering, when we look at the level of rage that some of the videos have shown us. I mean, I could understand somebody being annoyed or someone saying, you know, I'm just going to walk out and not bring my business here. But the rage itself feels disproportionate to the ask, to the request.
You know, I think it's related to this idea that a lot of psychologists have been talking about for, you know, over 50 years, this idea of psychological reactance. So people do not tend to respond particularly well to perceived constraints being placed on their freedom in general. And that's not just true in the U.S. It sort of seems to be true as a psychological phenomenon across the board. And obviously, based on some of our conversation, we have good reason to believe that that's a particularly powerful force here in the U.S. But as soon as somebody comes in and says, you know, I need to tell you how to behave, there's sort of a natural inclination to push back against that, even amongst the most pro-mask of us. There's sort of an innate desire to push back. I think we've all felt that in arguments with our spouse or debates with our kids. You know, you say one thing and you get this pushback for no particular reason other than almost just to establish yourself as an individual. So I think part of it is coming from that. As you state, wearing a mask is actually not all that different than, you know, wearing pants or wearing a shirt. It's just a slightly larger amount of cloth covering your body. Big picture, it's not that dramatic of an ask, especially given the benefits that we all collectively stand to gain.
You're also, Sion, you're working with the city of Philadelphia exactly on this issue. How are you incorporating behavioral economics into how the city's masking policy or strategy is going to work?
So one thing we did with the city was just run a survey to basically understand what citizens think about mask wearing. And in particular, I was keen to study social norms in this context. We asked citizens how much they sort of appreciate mask wearers or, you know, what their attitudes are about people who keep a social distance from them. And we found pretty universal, even, you know, on both sides of the political aisle, pretty universal enthusiasm and positive feelings towards people who wear masks, towards people who social distance. So that was an interesting phenomenon, especially paired up with another finding that we had, which is that when you ask those same folks, what do your neighbors think about essentially the same question? They say, well, my neighbors don't care at all. Of course, we're interviewing everybody around them as well, and they're all saying, we appreciate mask wearers too. So I think there's a belief problem here where people put their mask on and they think they're being judged in a negative way by society. You know, you walk outside and you think, everyone's looking at me. Maybe they think I'm weird or I'm scared or something for wearing this mask. But in fact, the people around them are just quietly appreciative of the mask wearing. So if that can get out in the messaging, you know, everyone likes mask wearers. Everyone judges those in a negative way who don't wear masks and don't socially distance. I think that could help turn the tide and lock this in as a social norm.
Dr. Bibbins-Domingo, how can we encourage better mask behavior?
We have to adopt what has been adopted through many types of public health practices that we don't are enforceable by regulation and laws, but really have become just force of habit. The thing I would love to see is just making this a lot easier. I would love for masks to be widely available. My recommendation when I think about what to do with somebody without a mask is to think about offering masks. We actually know that, especially in some of our communities, masks are actually not that easy to get, and it takes the stigma away of saying I'm mad at you for not wearing a mask, but sort of offering it. And we can learn a lot even about some practices like how we got when we were concerned about sexually transmitted diseases, how we get people to think about using condoms. And one of the things that we know works in those settings is basically to make them widely available, to de-stress the actual confrontation, but actually just say, well, here they're available. And that changes the dynamic that this is just something we expect everybody to be doing. It doesn't have a lot of emotion behind it. It's just common sense practice.
But generally speaking, we shouldn't confront individuals that aren't wearing a mask. On either side. I just wonder if that's also good policy.
I personally don't think that it's good. I think that that feeds into this. We have to have more of a collectivist mindset. I do think that there are many people who actually want to be doing this or have a positive view on this, but for whatever reason don't have that you know, are not engaging in that activity. And I think if we approach this from a spirit of trust and making these sort of universally accepted and then available, that is one way to try to diffuse the tension here and to hopefully get those people who are on the margins to adopt this practice more.
Well, I can say that I've definitely seen many more designers starting to do masks, and there's a mask out there. If you've got a fashion sense, there's a mask out there that has your name on it. Sione Bonnot is a behavioral and public economist at Swarthmore College, and Dr. Kirsten Bibbins-Domingo is a physician and chair of the University of California, San Francisco's Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.